As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
6:13 now on this Monday after Easter. Pope Francis has died, in case you've not heard. He was 88 years old, and his last appearance was yesterday when he gave the blessing for Rome and the Easter blessing, and then he was in a Popemobile, as I understand it. I turned the television off. I didn't see that part of it, and then I guess he passed away overnight. 50% chance for showers today, 70% tomorrow, highs of 82, and I don't know about you, but we got a little shower in Belchase yesterday, lasted about 20 minutes, and it was just hot and humid, and we got a glimpse of summertime, which is knocking on the door. Robert Hogan joins us now, professor, department chair of political science at LSU. Talk about the way voters are feeling about the economy, Congress, President Trump, and more. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Let's talk about, if we can, I know you didn't come on to talk about this, but since the Pope died,
sure.
What kind of political leader is the Pope? I know he's the religious leader of billions of over a billion Roman Catholics, but what kind of role does he play in the political structure of the world?
Well, I mean, he can certainly be a moral compass. It's certainly someone that a lot of Catholics, as well as people of other faiths, look to for moral guidance on issues. And I mean, throughout the years, popes have often played a role in politics and certainly in American politics in trying to advance the interests of the United States. You look at, Pope John Paul II during the Reagan administration. Those two formed a very close bond, in part because there was a united front against the Soviet Union and of the Iron Curtain and attempting to open up freedom in the world. Pope Francis had a very, I think, very different relationship with American presidents, or certainly in terms of policy goals. In recent years, certainly in recent months, if not today before he died, he was talking with J.D. Vance. Pope Francis did not agree with the administration at all in terms of its stance toward immigration. In fact, I noticed this morning that someone had noted in a news article, Pope Francis had a message read yesterday or on Saturday, and he said, "How much contempt is stirred up at times towards the vulnerable, the marginalized, and the migrants?" He wrote. He was outspoken on this issue of how those that are the poorest and the most marginalized in society are treated, and he took great issue with the way the Trump administration's stance was towards migrants, and was outspoken on that issue. So it didn't necessarily match the interests of the American president at the time.
J.D. Vance did meet with the Pope briefly on Sunday morning, but the day before, and they called it a snub. The mm-hmm. Vatican sent or the Pope sent some Vatican officials to kind of, I guess, talk with J.D. Vance about their issues with the immigration policy.
as my understanding, I mean, he wasn't even supposed to meet with J.D. Vance, but they arranged it at the last minute. And a few months ago, the Pope, you know, publicly admonished J.D. Vance's interpretation of you know, so some Catholic teachings with regard to the marginalized and that kind of thing, and so there's been sort of a public spat between the two of them, but it's all the basic fundamental issue is about immigrants. How do you treat those who are least among us in terms of their luck and their access to wealth and power? And the Pope certainly stood on the side of the marginalized in society.
Dr. Hogan, I don't mean to bring you into this, but in terms of the politics of this, and for people that maybe believe one thing on Sunday and the other thing Monday through Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Boy, I don't mean to bring you into this, but Jesus would have been not really a capitalist. Jesus would have been the ultimate communist or socialist. Would he not have been?
Well, it's far be it from me.
I know, I understand. That's why I hated to ask you that. But I'm
area of expertise. But I think what you're getting at is something that we do talk about here in at the university is how, you know, the religious teachings, particularly those of Christianity and Jesus's teachings in the New Testament, sometimes are very different than what you see government policies being. There is a disconnect. Sometimes there's a conflict. Those are things that people have to grapple with in balancing their faith and their politics.
Let's talk about tariffs and the president saying that he was going to make J.D. Vance the tariff czar. I'm just reading the tea leaves on this.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'll just give you my opinion. I don't think it's earth-shaking to say that President Trump is not one to generally share credit. And I just wonder what it says that he's trying to divest himself of tariffs and give it to J.D. Vance. Am I making stuff up in my head here or not?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he's gotten an enormous amount of pushback on the tariffs. He talks a big talk, says that he's going to impose tariffs, and then the markets go berserk. The market value of the stock market has gone down by trillions of dollars, and he sort of needs a way out. And who is going to be the person who gets the blame for this? No, this sounds like a typical, you know, Trump sort of shift in this way, or pivot, as they like to say. And so I think that makes perfect sense. I think in recent days you've seen this with the whole immigration issue. Trump's steadfast stubbornness, I think, is a good way of putting it, with regard to Mr. Garcia, who was sent to an El Salvadorian maximum security prison. I think this was one of the reasons he's not backing down, is because this enables him to pivot to these issues of immigration, in which he polls really well on, and it moves attention away from the economic disaster that is brewing with regard to these tariffs. So that's the same kind of pivot with J.D. Vance as you're seeing in these other sort of matters. So I don't think that is reading too much into it.
Let me take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about what J.D. Vance does from here politically, because the politics of all of this fascinates me. And I'm just wondering if I'm J.D. Vance, and I would think J.D. Vance knows doggone well what's going on here. What does he do now? 621 Traffic, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We're talking to Dr. Robert Hogan, our friend, professor and department chair of political science at LSU. We're talking about tariffs in that President Trump over the weekend said that he was going to make J.D. Vance the tariff czar. And that intrigued me because I loved the story behind politics. And J.D. Vance, again, let's be honest, you know, whether you love President Trump or not, he's not one to share a lot of credit, generally speaking. So if things were going well, you would think that he wouldn't want J.D. Vance involved with the tariffs. So the fact that he's passing them along would indicate that maybe he thinks there's a little bit of a problem with them. And that being the case, what does J.D. Vance do now? Because he's got to work with President Trump. He can't go to war with him at all. He's got to back the tariff thing. But now it's like, here, hold this for me, brah, would you please? I don't know what he does politically, Professor.
No, it's quite a mess right now. And I think this is true to Trump's, you know, modus operandi here. He is trying to find a way out. It's certainly the way it seems. If J.D. Vance is successful, he will certainly claim credit for it. And if he is not, then he can say, well, J.D. sort of messed this one up.
So what does Vance do? How does he handle this, Professor? Because he knows what's going on. He's got to know what's going on, right?
I don't know how he handles it other than to do the best he can. It's got to be very difficult to work with Trump or for Trump, given that you don't know what's going to happen next. And this whole idea of imposing these huge tariffs, this is something that is not by every economist you talk to suggests that this is not going to lead towards the sort of economic policies economic result that the Trump administration wants in the short term or in the long term. So this is something that's very problematic. I don't know what the end game here is. I think there's going to be a lot of muddling through until there's some resolution. I mean, you could have a situation where China, and they've already started doing this, of course, is countering this. And this could turn into a major worldwide recession if tariffs start getting put up by all the countries or major countries around the world. So this has the potential to spiral into an economic catastrophe.
It just seems like now, as complicated as tariffs were or as confusing as they were with on or off, now we're adding a degree of difficulty into it by factoring in a third person. And I don't know that we really know who's calling the shots on tariffs, do we?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Trump has been telling us that he alone was making the deals. People were calling him and being extra nice to him. it's hard to tell. And I think a lack of accountability when things are going south on an issue for Trump, it very often is a cut and run or, in this way, giving the responsibility to someone else and along with that, the blame. So I think this is a signal that Trump himself believes things are not going well.
I ought to be a fly in a wall. Thank you, sir. Robert Hogan, Professor, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Bruce Gentleson, Professor of Public Policy Political Science at Duke University, about the Trump administration and Iran engaging in talks. I know one thing. I'll tell you when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.